You are listening to Sherpa Shorts, a special presentation of the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
Welcome back to day two of Sherpa Shorts. We're going to give you a different letter every day, working through the alphabet and see what we can talk about in terms of youth ministry.
And so here we are on day two. It will be
the letter B.
So Matthew, what is your word for the letter B?
My word for the letter B is the word budget.
Oh, no.
The ever-popular youth ministry budget. How do we budget in student ministry? How do we manage our budgets? How do we fight for our rights and get monies that we need to do ministry?
Yeah.
What's your budget process like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, having been here for a while, it's pretty consistent year to year, so it's definitely easier now. So just thinking back to when I first arrived, I think what was important then was, well, first of all, to really advocate for the youth ministry in terms of budgets, right? We have to be out there, you know, be willing to say, here are the things that we want to do, and present that to leadership, talk to the senior pastor about those things, and try to build that budget over time so that we can have the freedom and the ease to do the budget and do our activities. So that's the first thing I think of. But also try to think strategically through the calendar year. What is it that we want to do and accomplish? And how does the budget look to make that happen? What are the key elements of it? So I have it divided by like high school, middle school. I have transportation. I have a special events line. I have a fall retreat because that's our biggest event of the year. And some other stuff built into curriculum is another line that we use. So that's how we do it.
Yeah, and one of the things for me when I think about that word is I think what I've learned over the years. You know, and when I first started out, you know, the church would come and say, all right, we need a budget for your youth group. I mean, how much money do you need? And I would sort of, you know, whatever formula I could come up with, I'd come up with a number, and I'd sort of give them a number, and they'd say, okay, well, how about this number? Well, okay, whatever it is, it is. Mm-hmm. Over the years, what I learned is to be and this did not come natural for me. I'm not a naturally detail-oriented person. I had to learn that over the years, was to make the budget as detailed as possible. Okay. You talk about like you have different categories.
Yeah.
Our budget currently, in my context right now, is an Excel spreadsheet that just goes on forever because we have broken down exactly what we want to spend on exactly what we want to spend it and why we want to spend it. Because what I've found over the years is, again, you know, you hand the board of directors or the deacons or whatever your context is, hey, we want to have X amount of dollars for student ministry. And of course, they're working with limited resources, and other people have asked them for money, so they have to put it all in a hopper, and they come back and they say, okay, instead of the X amount of money, we're going to give you Y amount of money. And at that point in time, you got to make it work. Yeah. Now, what I found is when I do a very detailed budget and it show exactly where the money's going, exactly where we're planning on for the money to go,
they're more inclined to like you.
They're more inclined because those people are detailed people.
Yeah,
they're the reason they're on the board of directors or the deacons is because they love numbers and they love to know what's happening and they love percentages and they love, you know, all this kind of stuff. So the more I can feed into what they want, the more inclined they are to say like, okay, you ask for X, we'll give you X.
So really, you're kind of playing a little bit of a political game. You're providing what you know is necessary to receive what you want.
Exactly, because I want it.
It's not deceitful.
It's not
honest.
It's honest. I want this much money, and this is why I want it.
Yeah.
And so that way, even in a situation where maybe they would give me the budget back and say, you asked for X, here's why, if I really wanted to kind of go to war, right, if I really wanted to say, no, I need X, I could go back to them and say, okay, where do you want me to cut?
Which event needs to go?
Because now I'm not just cutting money. I'm cutting a thing.
Right.
I'm cutting a kid. I'm cutting an event. That's extreme. I'm not cutting a kid. But you're really trying to give them the reality of if I don't have X, then this can't happen.
Okay.
And if we think this is important, then you got to give me X.
Yeah.
You know, find it. That's been helpful.
Here's something else that I thought of in terms of budget. I try to budget so that the youth volunteers don't have to pay for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really important. I actually build it into the budget and then a little bit into the cost of a particular event. But mostly in the budget, Because I don't really want to be charging the students more than necessary either. But if I can do it in the budget and the youth leaders don't have to worry about how am I going to pay for my trip to the fall retreat or how am I going to pay for winter camp, it just, to me, that's a way to bless them.
Sure.
Take the pressure off them and get their full buy-in and participation.
Yep. Our context is a little bit different. You know, I fully support that. I think that's great. I think if I could do that, I might do that. But we sort of built a different pattern.
Okay.
Where we have a discounted rate. Leaders don't pay the same thing a student would pay because we know they're making sacrifices to come. And, you know, a 45-year-old person sleeping on a fall retreat bed is already, they're already paying a price at that point in time. But we do have a cost because we just don't have the room in our budget as it currently stands to do that. Now, again, we do that with the caveat that explains to the leaders,
if
cost is the only thing that's going to keep you from coming and being a part of this trip, you need to talk to me because I'll find it. Again, we'll find a way to find that money to get you there. So, so it's a little bit different. So I don't think there's a right or a wrong way to do that, but it's something you have to think about how your leader's paying for these events.
Absolutely. And we do with the bigger trips, like a summer mission trip or a conference, we do ask them to pay half of that because we can't afford to sponsor that.
So it's a bigger number.
It is a bigger number.
It's not a $150 fall retreat. It's a $1,200 trip to wherever.
Right. And another thing that we're really blessed with here in our context is we have a youth scholarship fund. It actually pops up on our church website as a giving option.
Mm.
And so sometimes random people will just like, oh, I love kids. I'll throw some money in there. And then we get that number and we're like, wow, this is awesome. So I can take that money and I can apply it to help kids, you know, go on a retreat. And that is just the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Especially when you have, you know, maybe a student will invite a friend who isn't part of our church, has never been in a retreat, and they see $140 for the weekend. You got to be kidding me. We can cut that in half.
Cut that in half.
That just looks
beautiful. Make it more accessible. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or we have families with multiple kids, you know. We have one family with, I think they have 5 kids
in
middle school and high school at one time.
That's the real deal.
You start to pile on the retreats, man. You're talking like a whole paycheck just to be able to send their kids to camp. So we want to be able to subsidize that to some degree, and it's just a real blessing we were able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I don't know if that's possible in your context, but if there's a way you can create like a separate scholarship fund for kids, man, go for it.
Yeah, we don't have a separate scholarship fund for that per se, but whenever we do an event, we offer that as an option on the registration form, whether it be online or paper.
Right.
You know, you're signing your kid up, consider either paying double, so you can completely scholarship a kid, or if you can't do double, you know, is there any amount you could give to help another student get there? And so it sort of accomplishes the same purposes, just a different way.
Yeah.
You said something there that triggered another thought that I have about budgets, and, you know, we have to think about our families and what we're putting on our youth calendar.
True.
Because our families all live within a budget.
Right.
They have limited resources to pay their mortgage and buy their groceries and pay the car insurance. And so at first, when I first got in the game, I was just like, yeah, well, in September we'll do this, and then in October we'll do that, and then we'll go here. And then I remember parents saying to me, like, I really want my kid to be involved in your student ministry, but I can't afford it.
It costs more than Harvard.
It costs a lot of money. And it, what, because I didn't have kids at the time when I was young, so it didn't make any sense to me.
It's not costing me anything. What are you talking
exactly
about?
I'm going to all these events for free. And so it was that realization that as I build my calendar, as I build my events, I have to take into consideration at what pace am I asking a family to pony up. Because I want their kid to go home from youth group and say, Mom, I really want to go on this or do that. Well, if they haven't gone home and said that for 8 weeks, Mom says, oh, yeah, of course, let's make that happen. But if 2 weeks later they're coming down and saying, oh, I also want to do this, and so I need to check for it, I think that can get a little exhausting. So I think when we budget, we have to budget not only our monies, we have to budget our events, thinking about the budgets of our families.
Yeah, it might be good even to stop and look at the whole year and try to come up with a number that every family, if they were to participate in everything, what would it cost them and kind of go with that. So and that's a reasonable number.
Yeah, if it's a reasonable number or not. And again, to consider families that have multiples. Are we able to do anything for a family who has three kids?
Because,
yeah, $175 retreat is steep. $175 retreat times three is
real money.
It's like life-changing money, at least in my world.
One last thing about budgets, from my point of view, is that we budget out transportation separately. We have to rent vehicles for all of our events. Our church doesn't own any vehicles. So anytime we want to take kids anywhere, we've got to figure
there's
that
monies.
Out. And, you know, I know a lot of churches, we build that into the cost of the event. We're blessed, again, to be able to budget that separately. So the bus trip to camp is not necessarily on the family completely.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost subsidizing the cost of the events from the start with the budget.
With the transportation budget.
Which is a real blessing.
That's great.
So, and the other thing that does is it shows the real cost of that. So at the end of the year, when we're having our budget meetings, we're sitting down with the financial people, we're able to say, you know, we spent
X amount of dollars.
You know, yeah. We spent $12,000 last year on bus rentals. That's a real cost. There's no way around it. We can't get to camp unless someone drives us there.
Right.
And this is real money. So yeah. I think it's helpful.
Absolutely. So more detail and think big picture, not only with your budget, but with your family's budget. So yeah. a couple of takeaways from the letter B.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with the letter C.
Sherpa's out.